Good morning. I heard that. Thank you very much. It's great having you here. I am back from vacation, and I'm still trying to get used to being back from vacation. How does that sound? I'm not looking for sympathy because I don't know if you'd give me any, and then B, it's really not worth it. So here we go. So back from vacation. We're glad you are here with us, whether you're back from vacation or not. We know this, that God is doing some great things. He continues to do great things. Jesus Christ continues to do great things in and through this community of faith. And if you're a new person here, we have an information card in the bulletin. We invite you to fill that out. And in the process of filling that out, if you have a prayer request or you would like to share something with us, please let us know what that is. Know this, that people will be praying for you in this upcoming week. We have quite a number of folks that enjoy praying for others, and so we will be praying for you about those things, and we get to see God answer those prayers. It's a really cool thing. So feel free to fill that out. In the bulletin, you'll see that we have 5 things that you need to know. They're there because we believe you need to know those things. I'm not going to go through all 5 of them. I'm only going to pick out 1 of them, and it happens to be Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve happens on December 24th this year. Yes. You picked it up. That was very well done. So it's good. So it happens on the 24th. We have 2 services that day. One is at 5 p.m., which is a family-oriented service. It will be much more interactive, and so we invite you to be here for that. And then we have a service at 10 o'clock that night. It's a traditional candlelight service. There won't be any child care at that service. It'll be a great time of reflecting and celebrating Jesus Christ coming to this earth. So that's December 24th, Christmas Eve, 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. are when those services are. The other thing that we'd like you to know is that Wednesday nights continue here. This Wednesday, like every other Wednesday, we have a community dinner that's at 5:30 over in C1, which is on the opposite side of campus, followed by different activities for all age groups here on campus. And so if you haven't participated in that, we'd love to have you join us this Wednesday night, okay? The Christmas story is only discussed as far as details or the details that the gospel writers wanted us to know. The Christmas story is only discussed in 2 gospel accounts, Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't have anything to say about it, and John doesn't really have a distinct birth narrative. Yet John's opening words are powerful. And I thought it would be appropriate to take a look at those verses that John wrote down this morning, because I don't think John gets enough press. And what he has to say about Jesus Christ coming to this earth is very powerful. Listen to what we read in John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he says this in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and made his dwelling among us. We get to sing about Jesus Christ. We get to sing about this great God that we have. And when we take the moments to reflect and consider what Jesus Christ accomplished, we should do nothing but praise him and lift him up. It's our prayer this morning that that would happen. And so we are glad you're here. And again, we look forward to what God's going to do in and through this service this morning. Father, we pray now, as we gather this morning in this place, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. We pray that we would respond with words of praise, that we would respond with lives that are shaped by you and what you desire to do in our lives and through our lives. Thank you for being the one God who came and dwelt among us and did everything that we could never do. You truly are amazing. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, and may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Name Tag Sunday. You have a name tag. If you didn't get a name tag, we'll just make up names for you. We're going to go into a time of greeting, and one thing that I forgot to announce was this, that Club 3-5 will take off through those doors after we have a song, that there's a dance that accompanies a song later on, and that's when Club 3-5 will be released. And so right now, we invite you to stand up, greet one another, say hi to people, say you're glad you're here to see them.
Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Make this our prayer today.
I don't know that there's a better way to prepare our hearts to worship God this season than to watch children praising a baby. Isn't that what the season is all about? Is a baby bringing everyone of every age to their knees and then with shouts of praise. Welcome. My name's Kelsey. If you haven't met me before, hello. It's good to see you. One of the pastors here, and I'm super excited because this opens us up to what we're talking about today. We're going to continue into our Christmas series, our Advent series, and I particularly enjoy Advent series because it's trying to make the same thing new every year at the same time. That was a joke. It's okay. But really, it's exciting because every year God makes the same story fresh because every year it matters just as it did the year before. And so this year in particular, we're walking through the book of Luke. And so you have maybe noticed that our series is called Christmas is for Everyone. And the reason it's called that is because each gospel is a little bit different than the next. So Matthew and Luke are the ones that tell the birth narrative. And they're a little bit different from each other, not because they are wrong or right, but because each person has a different perspective, right? When I walked into this room the first time, I sat in one of those seats right over there. Hello, guys, over there. Right over there somewhere. And the first thing I noticed was the electric drum kit. Anybody else? The first thing you... Okay, same as last time. That was good. Anyone else? No? Okay, yeah, one. Woohoo! There's a couple of us. Let me guess. Drummer. Wish you were a drummer. All right, good. Same for me. I noticed the electric drum kit because that's the one instrument that haunts me because I just want to learn it. But every time I start to learn, I break up with the guy. And so then my learning has been tainted. You think I'm kidding? We'll talk about it another day. But for me, that's what I notice. Why? Because that matters to me. That's important to me. For others of you, you techie folk, you notice that back booth and how incredible that is. How many of you are that person? Which is why we have a low shortage on volunteers. All right, this explains a lot. Joel saw it right away. Different people will notice different things. Why? Because we have different perspectives and purposes. And so for Luke, one of his big purposes in writing the gospel, and specifically at Christmas, is to say that Christmas is for everyone. When he tells a story about Zechariah, he follows it with Elizabeth, because it's both men and women. When he talks about Zechariah and Elizabeth, then he talks about Mary. Why? Because it's old and then young. He talks about those who have been in the temple worshiping God for generations and then those who were trying to figure it out. Why? Because to Luke, in his birth narrative, he says every single one of us gets to worship this baby. Whether you've known him your whole life or you're just meeting him now, every single one of us gets to celebrate Christmas. So we're specifically going to look at a story today about a guy named Zechariah. And he often gets the low end of the pole. And specifically for Zechariah, we talked a couple weeks ago about Elizabeth. That's his wife. And we're going to talk about him and his relation. He had a little baby too. His little baby's name is John, eventually known as John the Baptist. So we're going to talk about him. But before we get there, I need to tell you one of my favorite things about Christmas, besides a lot of things. Specifically today, I'm going to tell you, I love Christmas cards, and not just like you write in them and they're cute, and that's great, whatever. You can write whatever you want. But the ones with the family pictures. Do you guys know the ones I'm talking about? I thought about doing one of just my animals, because they're like my children. And then I was told that that's probably not acceptable anymore. So I didn't do that. But I love when I get to go to my parents' house and they have just rows and rows and rows of these pictures. And in the picture, there's the little kids I used to babysit and they're wearing their UC Santa Barbara shirt. That's not scary. But it's okay because then the next picture is the person who used to babysit me. So it all balances itself out. And it's just great to catch up. Well, this Christmas, I haven't received any yet. But I have one to share with you. Can we throw that one up there? Thank you. Someone cheered. For those of you that don't know what in the world you're looking at, this is what we went on a missions trip as a youth group last week, and there were 20 of us, which was awesome. And we got to go up and throw a Christmas party, this building right here. We were out on the lawn in front, and we got to help host a Christmas party. This is what they looked like most of the trip. And then if we want to show the other picture, this is what they pretend to look like in front of parents. So so that's that. You can see Santa is in the picture. He made a special appearance for us because a lot of these kids, this is their time to get a picture with Santa. So kids would come dressed up and take pictures. And it was amazing, a lot of fun. Got to love on some kiddos and some parents, which was really fun for us. Then the next day, we headed over to a different area on the reservation in San Carlos, and we got to host a worship night, and worship night being like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but whatever, night is night. And we got to sing some Christmas carols, and nobody knew any of the words, including our band. Where is she? Oh, she's gone. There she is. Yeah. Okay. We made them up as we went, but it's okay. We had words in front of us, still didn't get them right. But it was a blast. All the kids got jingle bells, and we got to sing jingle bells. And then I got to do the Christmas story, walk them through it, and put them in Christmas garb. I got to have a little Mary and a little Joseph. And all it was cute, and they kept all the costumes. They're not ours. Okay? Whew, good. They kept all the costumes, and they wore them the rest of the day, and it was just really cool. But the coolest thing for me on this trip is something that I've never gotten to do there before. After we told the Christmas story, we had a parent, two parents, and their little boy come up. Now, to make a very long story short, these two parents are people that 318 Ministries has been working with for years. They've been pouring into them, loving them, being there. They do Bible studies. They're there when they get in trouble. They're there when things are good. They've been doing life together, and recently the dad got baptized, which was 3 years in the making. Like, God is working. Yeah, you guys can applaud that. But what was even cooler for me, and that was cool enough, is on that day, they decided that they were going to do a baby dedication for their little boy. And so these two parents who are new to the gospel and are experiencing it and trying to figure things out brought their little itty-bitty boy, and his name is Paul. He goes by Paulie. And he came up, and they committed as parents to raise the next generation in the gospel. And I'm getting chills right now, and every time I tell the story, I get chills. Why? Because it's a people group that sometimes gets overlooked and has lived in spiritual darkness for years. And now not only are some parents being reached for the gospel, but they're going to raise their kids. Why? Because babies, children, turn the hearts of adults to the King. And as I reflect on that, I said, that's the story of Christmas. It's a little child bringing a whole neighborhood together to celebrate Jesus Christ. It's a little child who can barely speak bringing us together. And as we stood there, students came and surrounded them, and Robert and Liz from 318 Ministries have been named Polly's godparents, and so they were there, and we just prayed and cried, and not me, I don't do that, okay? But we cried, and because, again, Christmas is about a baby changing the world. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for what you're doing all around us, what you're doing in the lives of families and in children, and what you're doing in the lives of adults through those children. God, what an incredible blessing it is to be a part of this season, to remember your baby, Jesus. God, we thank you. We ask that right now our hearts would be open to what you have to say, that our minds would be clear, and that we can hear you above all else. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. You probably guessed we were going to be in Luke, but we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Specifically, we're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to talk about this guy named Zechariah. And Zechariah is one of those fringe stories that often gets ignored around Christmas because we just want to talk about Mary and Joseph. But Zechariah has an important piece to teach us about worshiping the King during this season. Zechariah is one of my favorites. So here we go. Zechariah 1, verse 8. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Now we have to pause because this scene in and of itself is something we can imagine, a worship service. But I need to give you some background. You see, up until this moment, for the several hundred years before this, God had been silent. They were going to the temple and worshiping God, but God was not using prophets. He was not speaking directly to anyone. There was silence from God. Why? Because in Malachi, God said, "You don't want to hear me? That's fine. I'm not going to force you to listen to me. I will be silent." And he promised them that for generations he would be silent, and he was, because of their choices, because they didn't want to hear him. But before he began the silence, he says, "I will give you this warning that someone is going to come who is going to be the next Elijah." Now, for those of you who know some Old Testament history, you probably know a little bit about this, but the quick version, if you don't want to go read the entire Old Testament right now, is that there was this prophet named Elijah, and his job was to turn the hearts of people back to God. He really was big about the word repentance, which means to turn. And so he came and he paved the way for those who would come after him, like Elisha. So God says, "Hey, listen, you don't want to hear me? That's fine, I won't talk. But I'm going to let you know that someone is going to come onto the scene who is going to pave the way for the Messiah." And so then for hundreds of years, God is silent. It's not that he's not there. It's that he's promised them that if they don't want to listen, he won't talk. So for hundreds of years, nobody's heard from God. Nobody's had a moment or an encounter. Instead, they're in waiting, and they're praying, and they're praying. And they're praying for a Messiah, but more than that, they're praying for an Elijah, the one who's going to come and pave the way, because you know that if an Elijah comes onto the scene, then Jesus will follow, right? If an Elijah comes onto the scene, we will be ready and we will recognize his message because the Messiah will come. And so specifically for Zechariah, he worked in the temple, and only specific people could work in the temple. It was the custom. And so he specifically, in the temple itself, there's a holy of holies, and only very, very specific people go in there, and only sometimes come out alive. So it's a pretty unique spot. But the closer and closer you could get to the Holy of Holies meant the more vital your role was, the more important your role was in the temple. Well, incense burning was right outside of the Holy of Holies. So Zechariah himself was actually quite important in the temple work. He was pretty high up in the chain of command, and not because he's awesome, but because he had been serving God his whole life. And so he's there, and he's been there many times, and he's lighting the incense as is the custom, and it's a normal experience. For hundreds of years, he's heard nothing. For him specifically, his lifetime, and we know from later on in the passage that he's pretty old, he's been waiting for God in silence. Specifically for him and his wife, they've been praying for a baby, and at this point, he's all but given up on that dream. Some of us understand him. Some of us have been waiting for God to speak to us loud and clear for a long, long time. Some of us have been waiting and feeling like there's no results, so you're giving up on the dreams that you have with God. At Christmas time, sometimes we go through the routine of burning incense or doing what we normally do, just like we did every other year, without any difference, without any encounter with God. It's the same thing. Well, for him, he goes into this room, and luckily we have hope because it's not like any other year before. Instead, verse 11, it says this, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear." Well, yeah, that's terrifying. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. You will bear a son, and you are to call him John. You will be a joy and he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." In this one moment, after hundreds of years of silence, in this one moment with an old man who'd given up hope in childhood, in having a child of his own, and who had given up on really seeing the Messiah in his lifetime, still hopefully praying, in this one moment, you know, all those people are outside praying outside of the temple, bring us in Elijah, bring us in Elijah. In this one moment, all of the prayers of Zechariah's life are answered, right? Hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Okay. And not only are you going to have a baby, but everyone else has been praying for this Elijah guy to come onto the scene. Guess what? He's it. In this one moment, God transforms the history of a nation and of a people group. In this one moment. But if you remember the feeling that Zechariah has, hundreds of years of God not talking, hundreds of years of waiting, a whole lifetime, he's basically lived out a whole lifetime of not having a child, and now you get a child, we probably can understand a little bit of cynicism, right? In fact, this is what he says in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Now, we look at him and we go, dude, just take the child and run. Don't say anything. Just have the baby. Go for it. Woohoo! We have the next Elijah, and all of us in our modern context are getting it. We're like, yeah, go with it, baby. He wasn't there. Hundreds of years of silence, a whole lifetime. And he says, how can this be? I'm too old. Now, some of you know that phrase very well. God, how can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? I'm too old. God, how can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? I'm too young. God, how can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? I'm a woman. God, how can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? I'm a man, and I'm not strong like the others. How can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? I barely have money in my bank account. How can you be calling me to do that kind of ministry? Fill in the blank. I have a feeling now that we listen to those thoughts, we go, oh, yeah, we get it. A lot of times God talks to us and we hear him very clearly, but in that moment, all doubt sinks in and we go, yeah, he's got the wrong person. He's got the wrong gal. I can remember being at camp, junior high camp this summer. And the last day, and I've told this story to a couple of you, but the last day I was sitting in the front row. I don't know why I was in the front middle seat. That's terrible. But that's where I was, and this guy gives a speech about how he turns a church that was faltering from, they had 1,000 and now they had 400, and then they called him in to do ministry, and he went, I'm too young, and he turned that church of 400 into a church of 1,200. And as he was talking, I just sat there, and at the end of his message, I just started crying. And I don't cry a whole lot, okay? It's not my forte. I'm not one of those people that, like, drop of a hat. No, I don't like crying. And so I embarrassed. I, like, run out of the back door, threw a bunch of hurt at junior hires, because that's what you do. They don't notice. Sorry, you guys totally notice when you get hit. So I'm in the back, and then I go and I stand outside, and it's cold air, and I just breathe in deeply, and I go, what in the world is happening? And God very clearly said to me, Kelsey, be prepared to lead. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, God, you're funny. That's not what you meant. And I just kept crying, and at some point when you get really antsy, you just start walking. And so I was pacing around the camp. Junior hires, please don't pace around the camp at night by yourselves. Do as I say, not as I do. And so I'm walking around and I'm just crying and I'm saying, God, what in the world? And he's like, hey, I'm calling you to lead, be ready. I'm calling you to lead, be ready. I'm calling you to lead, be ready. And I remember audibly saying to God, God, I'm too young and I'm a woman. Audibly, out loud, God, I'm too young and I'm a woman. How often do we do that with God? And your reasoning, your rationale is probably different than mine. Unless you're a young woman, then it's probably the same at some level. But maybe you've been counting yourself out when God has sent an angel in front of you to give you a message. So Zechariah counteracts him and says, I'm too old and my wife is well along in years. Basically, I don't want to have a high school student and be the person, you know, looking in. You're just too old. Can't keep up with them, okay? But verse 19 says this. Then an angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Now, most of the time in my life, I've read that passage and I go, silly little Zechariah. That was just foolish. Now you have to be quiet. And I think about it as a punishment. But I want to reframe it a little bit for you, okay? Because maybe, just maybe, it's not as much of a punishment as we think it is. Maybe, just maybe, God loves Zechariah so much that he says, listen, you can't see me clearly, so I'm going to remove the hindrances from you so all you can see is what I'm doing. All you can see is my power moving in front of you. So he takes away his voice, and actually we find out in later verses there was probably something going on with his hearing too, because they would have to sign back and forth to try and get answers. And so he's there, and he can no longer really hear, and he can no longer talk, and all he can do is wait. And it's, yeah, there's a level of disappointment. There's a level of, yeah, Zechariah, you should have known the story of Abraham. You should have known this could come true. But I'm not going to sit here and rant. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not revoking the child and giving it to someone else. No, 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 no. I'm going to continue to let you see this happen. Because I love you, I'm going to let you sit in silence so that you can experience God's kingdom in full. So he does, and he has to take a step back and watch and wait. And his wife does end up being pregnant, and for a few months, they end up going off by themselves, and just kind of wading through this, and we find out a few months later that Mary comes to visit, and that's the first time this baby is really announced. Nobody knows what's going on, except for the fact that when he came out of the temple, he couldn't talk, and they could understand that something was happening, but they didn't know what. And so for 9 months, Zechariah stepped back, and he watched, and he waited, and he listened. You see, after camp, when I told God no, you probably got the wrong person, I'm too young and I'm a girl, what are you doing? Like, that's crazy. I can tell you, I had months, and it wasn't that God totally took my voice away, because you heard it, it doesn't go away, okay? It's not funny, it's a beautiful voice, okay? But he helped me learn to stay silent. And it was probably one of the hardest, and I don't know that I'm out of this completely, but it's hard to learn to step back and be silent. To learn back and not jump into everything right away, but to actually remove myself and watch. And I can tell you from watching since camp, I have watched God do miracle after miracle. I have watched God grow in this church. I have watched God grow in our community. I have watched God grow in our families. I have watched God move in crazy ways, but it took God saying, hey, Kelsey, I'm going to call you to something, and me go, not going to happen. Then he goes, fine, sit back and watch. Watch me do what I'm going to do, because he loves me. And I can tell you things like when we were on this trip, there was a girl who has a broken foot. I told her I wouldn't say her name, but kind of gives her away. And we were walking, and she literally got off her crutches like the day before the trip, and she was walking with us, and I told her, you don't have to walk, and she's like, no, I'm going to walk, and I don't argue with high school girls on things like that. So we were walking, and we were handing out flyers on Saturday afternoon saying, hey, come to our worship night tomorrow. Hey, come to our worship night. And we'd go door to door, and it was really cool. And all of a sudden, we started having a crew of kids. It just happens, kids and puppies. Half of our students were holding puppies, and the other half were holding kids. It was great. But one of them, who has a broken foot, not that one right there, was standing there, and I remember looking over at her, and this little girl runs up to her and goes, can I get on your back? And I'm standing over there, and I'm just watching this unfold, okay? And she goes, yes, of course. How many of you, your mother alarms just went off in your head? So I'm standing over here, and I go, no. Is that how it sounded? Yes. That's what she heard. I was like, no, you have a broken foot. I don't know why, whatever, okay? And so she, because she so desperately wants to love the kid, she makes sure she finds someone to give this kid to. And standing next to her was someone who, since I've met her years ago, has told me I'm not very good with kids. And I've asked her, do you want to work in children's ministries? And she's like, no, kids don't like me. Kids don't like me at all. And she's not a short person, so she can be a little intimidating, but I just watched her stand there, and this broken-footed girl, I really just want to use her name, but it's not going to work, goes, what about her? And so this girl, who has told me for years that she's not good with kids, had a child on her back every moment for the next 2 days. Then the kids found out she was ticklish, and it all went downhill from there. But she became the favorite. Why? Because I got to stand back and watch God do that moment where two students who love people, so desperately seeking to love God, were able to minister to those little girls. Then there were things like on Saturday when we went out and did the Christmas party, a couple students who always have their phones on them left them away. And for those of you who don't have teenage kids, let me tell you, that is a miracle of God. But they did it because they want to serve God. You see, when we step back and we watch for those little moments, when we watch for those things, I can't say that was anything I did because God totally did what he needed to do. But when we step back and stop trying to fix everything and answer questions for God, instead when we're silent and we watch him do what he's doing, the world becomes bigger, and then suddenly this church is different. This community is different. You see, Zechariah was loved by God so much that God said, I'm not going to take away the gospel from you. I'm going to take away your voice so that you can come and you can listen and you can observe and you can see what I'm doing. And I think maybe at Christmas, some of us need to be like Zechariah. Some of us need to slow down enough to start seeing what God is doing around you. Slow down enough and live in silence to see the miracles that God has all around us every single day, but it takes us slowing down and watching God work. And this time of year, that's hard for us to do. But I tell you, if you don't do it, God will teach you how to do it. What I think is really cool is after this, Zechariah gets to live 9 months just watching God, watching God, watching God, and really God is unfolding in front of him miracle after miracle. And he just gets to experience it, and he's silent, and he begins to feel the love of God around him. And when his little baby boy, John, who's later known as John the Baptist, is born, his world changes. And they go up to Elizabeth, and they say, Elizabeth, what do you want to name your little boy? And she goes, John. And they go, you're crazy. You're supposed to name him Zechariah. You're not supposed to name him John. There's no John in your family. And she's like, no, we're naming him John. And so they go to Zechariah and they're like, your wife is crazy, wants to name the baby John. What do you say? And suddenly he could speak. Why? Because the first time that he can speak, he's going to give praise to his king and acknowledge that God is working, not us. And so in that moment, he just gets to praise God, not only for the child, but for the fact that God has been orchestrating every little piece together so that at Christmas time we come together and it's no longer about the hoopla. Instead, it's about noticing and knowing that God is moving in our midst. So right now we're going to do something. Zechariah actually gives kind of a praise song or a worship song after he gets his voice. It's pretty much the first thing he says when he gets his voice back. And so I'm actually going to have Joel come on up, and he's going to read it for us. But because I'm me, I'm going to make you uncomfortable and ask you to close your eyes. And not because I'm crazy or mean, and not because I'm going to go steal your money out of your purse. Close your purse. No, I'm just kidding. But because I want us to sit and put ourselves in Zechariah's shoes and look at all the times we've told God, no, because I'm too blank. And now I want us to just imagine what he says and praise God alongside of Zechariah. So let's go ahead and let's close our eyes. I promise I won't do anything to you. And let's just listen to what Zechariah says to his king.
Praise the Lord, God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his Holy Spirit prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he wore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we could serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from his heaven is about to break upon us, to give us light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide us to his path of peace.
God, we come before you, so desperately needing to see you moving amongst us. God, we come before you and we thank you and praise you that you have answered the prayers of men and women for hundreds of years. We thank you for the new Elijah and the baby John. We thank you for Zechariah and teaching us how to sit back and look at what you do and praise you all the more. We thank you for the incredible love you pour out on us. God, this season, teach us to be still and acknowledge you above all else. Teach us to find the joy in the little things because you are there. Teach us to find the celebration in the shifts and the changes and the aches and the pains that this season brings. God, teach us to be still in front of your presence. And when we can speak, Lord, open our mouths to sing your praise. We love you, Lord. Amen. Right now, I'm going to have the ushers come on forward and lead us in offering. But during this time, I want to continue this quiet spirit. I actually have Heidi, who's going to be playing my favorite Christmas carol, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And as you just sit and acknowledge what God is doing around you, I just ask you to pray that with her. O come, Emmanuel. Let's pray for the offering. God, we thank you for your many gifts that you give us. We thank you that you overwhelm us with whatever it is that we need, even in times of crisis. We thank you that you provide for us, even when it's not the way we anticipate. God, right now, as we give to you what is yours, humble our hearts. Use that money for your glory, not to keep church lights on, God. Just for you, whatever it is that you want that money to go towards, God, you use it. You do it. And God, I ask that you bless the giver as well. Shine brightly in this moment. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Wow, that was cool. Well, let's stand. We're going to worship some more. Thank you for this time that we get to come and just praise you, just worship you. And this next song, as we sing it, let it be our prayer this week that we can just cling on to you, we can just hold on to you. Yeah, we don't have to try to go through these trials or this life alone, but we can trust in you and we can just hold on. Yeah, we love you.
I don't know about you, but sitting back and listening to a congregation sing praises to a king and declaring him above all else is one of the coolest things this time of year. I want to read one of the later passages as we head out today. It's in Luke 1, and it says this. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. And I wonder today, as we step up and praise God and give all glory to him, who in your neighborhood needs to hear that a baby is changing the world? Thank you, guys. Have a Merry Christmas.